In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, after that blessing of students and teachers, here's a test for you to see how much of your science from school days that you remember. What is the value of the universal constant C, the speed of light in a vacuum? Oh, two decimal points would do, but it could be approximate.
3 billion meters per second.
300. No, I thought
3 by 10 to the 6th.
3 by 10 to the 8th meters per second. That's right. Or 2.98 by 10 to the 8th meters per second. Who knows it in the old money? 186,000 miles per second, yeah, or around 300,000 kilometres per second. And no particle that has mass can go faster than the speed of light. Thank you, Professor Einstein. And as we've just heard, light goes pretty damn fast. Now, my real question on this candle mass isn't a scientific question, it's a theological question. How fast does the light go that comes to us from God? The light, like the light of Candlemas, the light that reveals God to us. And the answer is 3 miles per hour. Now, here I'm thinking of a book by the Japanese theologian Kasuki Koyama, and his book is called 3 mile an hour God. Now, why does God set this limit of 3 miles an hour? Because that's the speed that human beings walk, 3 miles an hour. And so that's the speed of God's revelation. What I'm getting at, in tune with all our readings for today's Feast of the Presentation, is that God comes to us in ways that honour our human condition, our human limitations, our human situatedness, which is of the earth and time-bound. There's an old medieval Latin saying that sums up this belief that's central to the Catholic imagination. Quid quid excipiter ad modum recipientis recipiter, which means that which is revealed is revealed according to the mode of the receiver. Do you get it? Now, the logic of how God reveals God's self is set out plainly in our second reading today from Hebrews. God comes to us within the human condition. God comes to us in the person of Jesus Christ, who doubly confirms God's loving self-limitation by labouring under our human constraints, even under our human suffering. Now, the early church, in the age that gave us our creeds, thought that this was a really important thing to make clear. They wanted to make clear that Jesus was not a God walking the earth, which is what you find in the religious world of pagan antiquity. Instead, they developed from the Gospels the remarkable conviction that God became truly human, of a human mother, with a fully human nature. Now, leave the overly spiritual stuff to the angels, as our epistle tells us today. That's nothing to do with the 3 mile an hour God, the down-to-earth God, who we meet in Jesus Christ. The God who, as we read in Hebrews today, came not to help angels, but the children of Abraham. That is, people like us. And God does this. God establishes credibility with us by avoiding nothing of what it means to be human. Now, let me mention two features of being human in particular. Now, one is the fact that humans grow old and have to accommodate themselves to the long haul. We have to deal with what historians call the long durée, because important things don't necessarily work themselves out quickly. So, in today's gospel, we're presented with two figures of great age who have been waiting in faith for a very long time. God's light has travelled slowly indeed on its journey to Simeon and Anna. And what sustained them in their trust in God's promise is their trust in God's promises, until the joy that they've long nurtured in their hearts can spill forth at last. Now, I also want to mention, and you will have noticed this if you are listening carefully in the gospel, just how insistent Luke is about Joseph and Mary fulfilling the religious obligations of their tradition. Luke mentions this over and over in today's gospel, coming to the temple in Jerusalem and not omitting anything required by the law of Moses as they present their firstborn son. And it's in this context of familiar religious practice that the prophecy of Malachi is fulfilled and the Lord suddenly comes to his temple. The long haul, the habituated faithfulness, the waiting and hoping for an ancient promise to come true is all part of how God comes to us. Not instantaneously, but sacramentally, as a typically hidden presence, not fully available to our consciousness or to our understanding. This is a God who moves Sunday by Sunday through our church-going lives no faster than 3 miles an hour. And yet here in church, in the faithful, habitual practice of our faith, decade in, decade out, God does come to us across the long haul. So it's a false dichotomy to think that we can bypass all this and be spiritual without being religious, as people like to say. We can leave that version of spirituality to the angels who can see God face to face, because that's not the way we human beings have been made. But it's not all disappointment and teeth grinding in the meantime. Today's beautiful Psalm 84 celebrates the loveliness of God's dwelling place, which for us is the presence of Christ among his beautiful people in word and sacrament. A home, a fruitful place, symbolized by God's altar, which is why Christians bow to it and why we priests can't stop kissing it. It's a place where we can nest in safety like sparrows, and where we can find sustenance in times of dryness. But friends, for all that, this isn't what a lot of people expect from God. A lot of people want things plainer, clearer. They want things now, with no waiting. How long do we have to wait for our broken windscreen to be replaced? Or for the insurer to get on and assess our wrecked car? Likewise, how long do we have to wait for God's promises? God's preferred way of coming to us in Jesus isn't the way a lot of people want it or are prepared to accept it. And so the human-sized spiritual vision of the gospel represents a shock to their system. But who may abide the day of his coming? Indeed, as we hear in Malachi today, in words so memorably set to music in Handel's Messiah. But who may abide the day of his coming? Now, Simeon also points to this problem of mismatched expectations. He warns that Jesus' coming is destined not just for the rising, but for the falling of many in Israel. The fact that Jesus will be opposed is proof that people don't want this type of divine presence It's not what they expect or want from God. And even Mary gets a warning from old Simeon that the normal hopes and dreams of any young mother would not work out as she might prefer. So friends, God's light comes to us at 3 miles an hour because that's the speed we go as creatures of the earth and of the long haul. The breakthrough that Simeon and Anna witnessed in God's long story of faithfulness is still working itself out in history, so that like them, we must also practice patience. Our portion is to know in word and sacrament what will only be fully revealed when history's long haul is over. Then, having learned what to expect from God, we'll be able to enter with Simeon and Anna into their joy, rather than ending up among the uncomprehending and disappointed. The Lord be with you.
And also.